good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. I'm Apostle Johnita Collins. It's great to be on. It's great to be back in your presence again. As you know, we went through a review on this past Tuesday. It was a very interesting review. I think that people are coming into greater understanding, greater revelation, greater wisdom, right? We have to begin to come up higher in our thinking and our understanding. It's no point to be in the body of Christ if we're not going to grow and learn, right? It's no point to be in the number if we don't know what we're actually there to do. And so one of the things that Tuesday night affords us to do is go through a review. I thank Minister Katrina and Prophet Nigeria for doing an excellent job, as well as Apostle Teresa for participating in the review and bringing forward the information and knowledge and wisdom, synthesizing it for the conservators. And so listen, I think Nigeria has grabbed a hold of being able to share her screen. And so we're gonna move forward. Now, I want you to understand this one thing. The reason why, and go ahead, if you can put that in full screen for them. The reason why I'm not doing a lot of changing of slides is because I want you to see Adam's face. I want that face to begin to speak to you. I want you to see the offense in his face. I want you to see the pain in his face. I want you to see the hurt in his face. I want you to see the confusion in his face. I want you to see the distrust in his face. I want you to see all of the different emotions that is being depicted through his face, his facial expression. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Can you see that alone is speaking a lot? It's saying a lot. And at the beginning and the end of the day, we think that we can hide our feelings. We think that our eyes aren't telling the truth of where we really are. We think that our cheekbones aren't expressing where we really are. We think that our lips aren't expressing where we really are. We think that our foreheads aren't expressing where we really are. Are you getting what I'm saying? You understanding? Right? Because we have been taught to hide so much, but one thing you can't hide is the truth of how you really feel. It's very difficult. And the more a person is connected to the spirit of the living God, the more that means they're more connected to the truth. And the more that they're connected to the truth, it also means they're able to dispense a lie or decipher a lie. Oh, come on this morning. I'm coming straight out the gate because I must move this message along, right? We got a lot of ground to cover today. I don't even know if we're going to be able to cover everything that God has given me. I know that we're not going to be able to, but I'm going to do my best to give you as much as I can. So let me just pray. Lord, I just bless you and I just thank you for this opportunity to be before the conservatory. Lord, I thank you and I bless you for every conservator. I thank you for all that showed up today to receive the word of the Lord concerning what we're describing as lies and truth right now, what we're uncovering when it comes to offense. Lord, I'm thanking you that your wisdom, your knowledge, and your information will begin to break down the schisms and the isms of the enemy, that your truth will begin to penetrate and break through the walls of deception. Lord, I thank you that your truth will begin to open up the ears of your people. I bless you that your truth will begin to open up the eyes of your people as they read the scripture over, that your Holy Ghost will begin to lead them into all truth, that they may not be found a people of foolish wisdom, earthly wisdom, but that they will be a people found of eternal wisdom. Lord, I thank you for Lady Wisdom, that Lady Wisdom is joining the conversation, that Lady Wisdom is having her way with each and every one of us as we ask for wisdom concerning your word, concerning offense, concerning building a house, concerning truth from a lie, concerning idolatry, concerning ideologies, concerning your kingdom. Lord, I bless you and I thank you. I thank you for your blood that's covering this broadcast today. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I bless you that we're already winning and moving forward by your truth and by your blood in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. All right. So listen, last week we had an opportunity to review. And so I'm going to start off with that slide. Nigeria, I'm on, I want to start off with slide number 5. First, let me do a quick review. The point of our teaching and our wisdom objectives is to reveal the manifold wisdom of God concerning the first offense on earth. We got to remember that, right? So that we don't jump ahead and we want to get to other parts of the teaching, right? But we must do this line upon line upon line, precept upon precept upon precept, okay? Then the other point, our second wisdom objective is to reveal the eternal reward Adam and Eve received as a result of their actions in the garden, okay? Our third wisdom objective is to reveal the inward works and purpose of salvation. I'm sorry, this is small and these glasses are a little too weak. I need my other readers, but they're not with me right now. So bear with me today. Okay. You can go ahead to the next slide. Skip slide 6 and go to slide 7, the next slide. So one of the things that we were able to pull out on Tuesday was that, listen, Adam had a job, right? He had a job that he was supposed to do inside of the garden. And so we discussed the realization in the entire review that Adam inward parts must have been overtaken with new feelings, with new emotions, as he realized that he was less, how can we say it? As he realized that he was one with God, that he was close to God, but perhaps he was getting new information from Eve that was letting him know that, wait a minute, maybe he didn't know God the way that he thought, right? So after all, the woman was teaching Adam how to begin to split his attention. Let's think about that, right? How to begin to split his affections. Let's think about that, right? Think about it from the perspective that Adam was ahead. He was the lead. He was the king over the garden. But guess what? Eve also began to lead Adam. We got to think about what was happening. Or let's say the woman. Let's keep, because they're still in the phase of woman and man, right? So after the woman was teaching him how to split his attentions, because guess what? His attention, he could not have done all the work that he was called to do if he had split attention. He could not have named all of the animals. He could not have set up all the rules. It was more than naming. He actually set up the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what he did inside of that garden. That's what he did. He set up governance. The animals, not only did he name them, we all know that according to God, when he gives us a name, that according to that name is a work. Oh, come on this morning. That's why it's important to think about your name, because your name indicates a work. It indicates a job. It indicates a keeping. That's why we can't name our children just any old thing. That's why we have to be mindful, because they're going to carry that thing out. Oh, good morning to everybody, right? So given that prior to the woman, Adam was only close and one with God. I want y'all to think about that. His relationship, that was his deepest relationship. That was his most intimate relationship. And I'm going down this line of thought about relationship and the intimacy of it and the deepness of it, because we have to think about that for Adam in order to understand what Adam really lost. We cover sin and it's just like sin. But what is sin? We're so removed from the reality of what sin really is that today we commit sin every day and we forget that we need to repent. Are y'all hearing me? We're so comfortable in our earthly understanding of God, of Jesus, of the Lord, of the scripture, that we don't really revere him the way that we should. Right? When relationships and covenants are not seen from the correct perspective, jealousy is provoked. That's what I taught you. I'm reviewing last week, right? Because I'm going to bring you forward. I taught you that when relationships and covenants are not seen from the correct perspective, jealousy is provoked. When understanding is not sought, envy is birthed. Oh. When duties and responsibilities are not understood, erosion at relationship is inevitable, and death is the reward. I'm going to repeat that, because I need you to understand what is happening to God's kingdom, because it happened in this here garden first. And it's still carrying on today. When duties and responsibilities are not understood, erosion at relationship is inevitable, and death is the award. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I brought that point out last week. And I will continue to bring it forward. So Adam took up Eve's offer to eat of the tree because he felt inferior and believed the lie that he would not surely die, but instead show Eve and the serpent that he was ruler over the garden without realizing he was already downgrading himself, and he was already becoming the tail and not the head. Do you realize when you begin to partake in earthly wisdom and mortal sensations, when you begin to partake in these behaviors, that you begin to downgrade yourself, that the kingly seed inside of you is what makes you the head and not the tail? And that as you begin to come into agreement, as you begin to water that seed and grow in stature, that is what separates you from your Adamic nature. But man, I promise you, this is the insight of us really understanding the point and the problem with Adamic nature, right? Because he downgraded himself. Pride was birthed. I want y'all to see that. Pride was birthed right there. And that sensation of pride, that puffing up of the chest, that thought of, yeah, I can eat of this tree and nothing's going to happen to me, that was pride. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show this serpent. I've been outwitting this serpent all along. And Eve is supposed, and the woman is supposed to follow me. After all, God gave her to me, right? Pride was birthed, and began to restore his sense of superiority. That pride began to restore his sense of confidence. Write this down. That pride began to restore his sense of accomplishment. But here's the truth of the matter. As he himself, man himself, played out the serpent's stratagem. Yeah, I'm stopping right there because I want you to think about what I just said. Pride was birthed and began to restore his sense of superiority, his sense of confidence, and his sense of accomplishment as he played out the serpent's stratagem. Adam, before he even took a bite of that fruit, he already was on the road of downgrading himself, because he chose to elude the truth. And what was the truth? In the day that you eat of that fruit, Well, what happened? He would surely die. And this is what we do from day to day. We forget our position. We forget our responsibility. We're on to everything else. And we forget why Jesus died on the cross to keep us. We forget that his blood is working on our behalf so that our minds can be renewed. The blood does not elude or evade the work that we're supposed to do. Hear me and hear me well, because this is one of the angst within the body. This is one of the false doctrines within the body that Jesus got it. No, Jesus left you with power to tread on serpents. Hear me and hear me well. He left you with power to tread on serpents. He left you with the blood to cover you. He did not leave the blood to do your job. He left the blood to give you strength, to give you protection, but not as an escape to bypass all of his commands for you to be who you're called to be as a king on earth as it is in heaven, for you to come up higher into your kingly identity, for you to identify as a king and not a mere mortal, as the king, as an offspring, and as an heir of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at this slide, the Holy Ghost gave me this last Sunday after I finished this teaching to share with you how I actually stay on point and stay in purpose when it comes to the kingdom. My kingdom identity is more important than how I'm seen in the world, than how I'm seen in the family dynamics. My kingdom identity surpasses that. My kingdom identity, because only what I do for Christ will last. My kingdom surety, my kingdom fullness must be rooted in truth. What truth? Why did God choose to put me on earth? What is my assignment? What am I supposed to keep? Because Adam had two jobs. Dress it and keep it. So I shared with you on this slide, and the Lord God took Johnita, that's me, and put her into the world to preach and teach the Holy Scripture. That's my job. That's my first job. But guess what? If you find yourself in Christ, if Jesus Christ saved you, if you're claiming that he's your Lord, if you're claiming that he's your Savior, then that's your job too. Before we want to ask for all these other titles and everything else, that's our job. Do you know that you can preach and teach the gospel by the way that you live? Come on this morning. Your life alone is a preaching and a teaching of the Holy Scripture. So now this requires us to keep ourselves under the Scripture, not under man's wisdom. This requires us to look at ourselves and stop looking at others. This requires us to begin to tend to our soul, to begin to work out our soul salvation and stop trying to work out everybody else's soul salvation. Who gave you that authority when God gave you authority to govern your own self? Come on today. Come on. All right. My second portion is to create living epistles. That's my job. That's my sole focus. If you enter into my sphere of governance, into my realm, that's all I'm going to deal with. I'm going to deal with the things that keep you from being holy, pure, and righteous and upright. That's what God is going to show me. That's what we're going to work on. That's what me and my mentees work on. That's what I do for my king. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm not trying to draw you unto me. I'm not trying to make you follow me all around the world. I'm bringing the gospel, and that's it. And the gospel that I bring is rooted in the truth of the word. It's not rooted in what I think. It's not rooted in what I feel. It's not rooted in what happened yesterday. It's rooted in the eternal wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find what I have to say in the word. That's it. I don't lead people astray. I'm not interested in, you know, finagling the word and making it comfortable. If you were at Stay Ready, my daughter Prophet Nigeria talked about church comforts, church accommodations, and the difference between that and what was the title? Church accommodations, kingdom. I cannot think of it. Can somebody unmute it? What is it? Or Nigeria?
Kingdom transformation versus church accommodation.
What'd you say?
Kingdom transformation versus church accommodation.
There you go. Kingdom transformation versus church accommodation. And what she taught about is the fact that when she came into my teachings, she began to learn about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it was polar opposites of all the time that she spent in church and all the things that she did in church. She thought serving, being an armor bearer and singing on the choir and all those things was being in relationship with Jesus Christ. But today we must understand our maker if we want to stay with him, if we want to rule with him. We must understand our maker. And it is based off of this kind of teaching that we will begin to plow our own selves, our own mind, and see where we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into kingdom citizens. All right. So, and the Lord God commanded the Johnita. The reason why I put the Johnita is because he said man at the top, but then he went back to the man, right? Because I want you to understand that you alone are a kingdom entity. I want you to understand that you alone have a whole kingdom inside of you. What you can do is equate that to the house. You alone are a house for the Lord Jesus Christ. You alone have a house to be able to house the Holy Ghost for the Lord Jesus Christ to do his work. Are you hearing me this morning? You alone. I want you to understand by the end of this teaching how powerful you are, how needed you are, what God afforded you when he breathed life into you, what God afforded you when he breathed life into your lungs again this morning and you were able to wake up. Are you walking as the walking offended instead of the revived dead? Hello. Because when Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost breathe inside of you, live inside of you, you become alive. You have not only life, but life more abundantly. Hear me and hear me well. But when you wake up, do you decide to cloak yourself with offense? Do you decide to look around and see everything that you don't like and what everybody else is doing? Or do you praise your King and say, I thank you for giving me life? Now let me get about your business. What do we need to get accomplished today, King? And if he says, I want you to work on that beam. Remember yesterday when you pointed out the disposition and the attitude of your coworker? Why were you so focused on that and not focused on what you were there to do? Oh, come on. You know, when you focused on that, you missed something important that I was trying to get to you. And I'm keeping it general because there's no need to go into grave details. We all can understand on that level how my point is when we are shifting our attention to something that's going to downgrade us instead of shifting our attention to something that's going to upgrade us. Because that's what we're dealing with right now. The mind of Christ, the mind of Adam. Adam's mindset downgraded him. So the slide goes on to say the different things that I did. So as God brought me into the kingdom, listen, I, Janita, I communed with God daily. I worshiped him on my face daily. I didn't just walk around and say, oh, I'm so busy. I didn't have, no, my worship life, if I had to get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and commune with God before my day started, that's what I did. I guarantee it's still what I do. You cannot go about this life without being in great commune with your King. Why? Because that's where he deals with us. He deals with us. Even when we bring him a situation about somebody else, if you're really in relationship with the true Holy Ghost, it's going to lead you into all truth about you, about your outlook, about your disposition, about what he wants you to do, what was supposed to happen, how it was supposed to be handled, what was supposed to go down. And then if you're able to receive that, then he'll give you intel about that situation. He'll give you revelation about that person. Oh, come on. If you ever hear Apostle Teresa talk about me, she'll tell you what God said about me. Know no man by the flesh. That's what scripture tells us. But that means that you have to get in the spirit and you have to become one with your God and commune with your God to understand holy things. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me today? I'm giving you so many wisdom nuggets. This message is so potent because it's designed to break you through. It's designed to shine light in every broken place and every distorted view. Oh, come on today. So it goes on to talk about how reinforced her prayer language. Listen, the Holy Ghost, learning to pray in the spirit, learning to commune in the spirit is important. If you don't have that peace, you have a missing armor. How far can God go with you with missing armor? How much can he communicate with you with missing armor? Oh, good morning. Okay. And then it talks about the help. Adam didn't have any help. So God gave him woman, right? But right here, I'm saying what? God did give me help. My first help started just like it with Adam. In the garden, listen, it started in my womb with Nzinga. She's my direct offspring. She knows everything that I know. I've taught my daughter from day one who her God is, how to serve her God, what does it look like, what is the requirement, what must we establish? Are you hearing me? This is not wait until she's 25. No. This is our life because we are eternal beings on earth. Stop being duped out of your identity. We are kings right here on earth. We are kingly seeds right here on earth. We are heir of the king right here on earth right now. Stop being duped out of your responsibilities and identity. Oh. And then he brought to me, just like he brought the woman to Adam, he brought me Nigeria. And I began to build Nigeria up and remind her of who she is and what she's here to do and what must be done. Do you hear me? He begins to add to you. What do you do with those relationships when he takes the time to bring someone to you? What do you do? Do you try and find every way to discredit them and break them down and tear them apart? Or do you revere the king in them as they revere the king in you? Hmm. Then he brought me Apostle Teresa. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. We have new work. Then he brought me the conservators. We have work. I honor you. I pray that you honor me back. I honor you to give you the truth. I pray that you receive it so that we can go up higher together, so that we can come closer together and not further apart as the serpent designed it. His stratagem is to bring the body apart. That's a strategy. But my God, today, what if Adam would have stuck with his God? What would Adam and what would woman and man have done? What would they have produced? Are you hearing me? Because it's all about production and fruit when it comes to the king. Don't be deceived. And don't be deceived out of your kingly identity. So I just shared that to kind of give you some insight and revelation how you have to begin to look at your life. Even though we're here on earth, we're in this world, but not of this world. We must get about our Father's business. We must be the people that he can call on. We must be those living epistles, and we must be those pillars that's holding up his kingdom, not our own. Thank you for hearing that. We'll move on to the next slide. The next slide should be slide 8. Go back. Go back. Go back. Right there. No, there you go. All right, thank you. Okay. So we're going to go, let's go to Genesis 3. We read through it last week, but now we're going to begin to bring that forward in this message. Let me see if I can. I can't see with those glasses, but what I have to read. This is better. Okay. It's a little bit better. Bear with me. Okay. And they heard, I'm starting. Shoot. I want to read this whole thing. I might have to have somebody read 3 for me because I really cannot see this. These glasses aren't.
Apostle Johnita, what do you have read?
Go to Genesis 3.
Okay. Starting with verse 1?
Yes.
Okay. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden.
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you. I want to stop right there because we'll come back to it. Okay. So listen. If you see on my slide, I pointed out Genesis 3 and 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant, I want you to see soft. I want you to see good. I want you to see pleasant. I want you to see desired. I want you to see one wise. I want you to see these key words that's inside of this particular passage, because this was the problem that not only did she face, but this is the problem that is faced all the time in our walk. The woman saw that the tree was good, that it was pleasant. Remember, we talked about that comfortable church. Remember, we talked about being comfortable and feeling good and, you know, agreeable. Desired. These are all earthly feelings. These are all earthly desires. Because for when you're in the kingdom of God, when you're in the kingdom of God, it's all about his righteousness. It's all about understanding what's righteous, what's holy, what's upright, what's his goal, what's his outcome, what is he going after. It's not about your personal sensations, your personal appetites, your personal desires, your personal needs. I wish I could tell you something different, but I can't. Right? So Adam was offended with God and he was offended with Eve. I want y'all to remember that, right? So the key word is offense. The definition, something that outrages the moral or physical senses. Right now we're dealing with senses. That's why I put that there. What was she receiving? What kind of senses was she receiving for her to declare, oh, when she saw the tree, right? She saw that it was good. What was that sense attached to? And that it was pleasant. That's another sense. We're talking about the eyes. The tree to be desired, to be wanted, to be craved, to be lusted after. Come on today. And to make one wise. That goes back to that pride, wanting to know more, needing to know more, feeling like you don't have something, not realizing what you already have is enough, and wanting more of something that you deem somebody else has. Oh, come on. When you think about this, I want you to look at the etymology, right? So we're talking about breach of law, wrongdoing, transgression against God. And here we go with that word sin again. Excuse me. But can we just blanket that over? Because if we really thought of offense or desiring something, you know, we desire things that probably we shouldn't desire all the time. Like sometimes I desire that extra piece of cheesecake, right? But do we really say that's gluttony and that we shouldn't do it and repent? Or do we just brush it off? It's just a little sin. I'm just saying. I'm just asking. I'm just posing the question that needs to be posed, because this is the behavior. This is how we look at sin now. It's just a little bit of sin. And Minister Katrina brought out a little leaven. Leavens the whole loaf. And so if we're walking around today and we're saying, oh, it's just a little sin, or we're overlooking the little things, the little jealousy, the little envy, the little hurt, the little pain, what is it growing into? Right? We got to think about that. So Adam was offended with God and Eve. He knew the serpent and the serpent ways. He was unbothered for many, many listen, we don't even know how many years, right? He ignored the serpent for ages and he remained one with his God. I want y'all to remember that, because you can be with God for a long time and it only takes one little thing to get you out of him. I want you to understand that. Adam was a free and liberated man until he allowed himself to be entangled with the bondage of the world. I mean, at the beginning and the end of the day, Eve was enjoying the conversation, but Adam did not have to join in. He did not have to become a partaker of that, right? We got to think about what we're doing from day to day, how we're conducting ourselves, where our senses are leading us, and if it's leading us astray and away from our God. Is it causing us to find ourselves to be what? In a physical quandary, meaning our senses are out of control, or even our morals are out of control, or either we're ignoring our kingdom duties and laws and commands. Next slide. Hold on, I'm trying to get to my slide. Okay, slide, are you on slide 9? Yeah, I think so. Okay. So the intentions, it's so small up there. So the intentions of offend, offended, and offensive. So I took the time to look up in the King James Dictionary the definition of offend. And when you think of offend, I want you to think of to strike, to thrust against, to displease, to make angry, to affront. To shock, to wound. I want you to, that's not the slide. I want you to, you need to go back one, I think. That's not the slide. Go back one. Go forward one. Okay. You must be in a different. Okay. Okay. Because of offense, Adam forgot he was a keeper. I want y'all to remember that. The design of the offense to strike, to thrust against, to displease, to make angry, to offend. I want you to remember, because of offense, Adam forgot he was a keeper. It took him off of his position, right? He was a keeper of the Lord's kingdom on earth, which was the Garden of Eden at the time, right? He didn't just sin. He lost control of his physical senses, and he caused a separation between him and his very best friend, God. Come on. I want you to think about that. That the serpent had a plan, and the plan was to offend, to strike out against. How did he strike out against Adam? How did he come up with this information? He was watching Adam. Adam was strong in his identity, but he watched how Adam responded to Eve. Or he watched how man responded to woman. And he came up with a strategy. And at the right time, he struck. What did he use? He used the woman. The woman senses, and the man's senses, their senses towards one another, were used against the kingdom of God. Hear me and hear me well. I keep talking about Adam's duty, his job to keep. The only way the serpent could prevail was to get the man off of his duty, off of his post, out of his position, out of his mind, out of his soul, out of his spirit, out of his oneness with his God. And he's using the same stratum today with us. He wants to shock us. He wants us to be wounded. He wants us to be in pain. He wants us to be annoyed. He wants us to be injured. He wants us to transgress. He wants us to violate. He wants us to offend the law. Come on today. He wants us to disturb. He wants us to call, he wants us to cause one to fall. He wants us to cause one to stumble. He wants us to draw to evil. He wants us to hinder in our obedience. He wants us to cause to sin. He wants us to neglect our duty. This is all, you can find it and read it for yourself. I did not make this up. And I know from day to day, we're not going around thinking about when we're in offense or we're offended or allowing ourselves to be offended, all that it's going to do. We're not thinking about the results. That we are now displeased. And from our displeasure, we will now be angry. And from our angry, we will now affront. Come on. We would never want to look at ourselves like this, but I promise you, if you take the time to comb through your own disposition, your own thoughts, your own habits, your own outlook, your own processes, I promise you that you will find everything that Jesus wants to change inside of you and make more like him. I guarantee you will find where the thief is. Once the thief be found, that means that we as kingdom seeds must go about pursuing our enemy. What enemy? The enemy of our soul, the enemy of our mind, the enemy that wants us to stay in the offense and cause us to what? Neglect our kingly duty. I mean, all that God had entrusted in man's possession, listen, he made God's possessions, products, and purpose vulnerable. That's what man did. He exposed the garden. What did he expose the garden to? He exposed the garden and everything that God had in there to the progenitor of lies, the serpent. The serpent was there, but the serpent was bound. The serpent was locked down. Come on today. The serpent did not have rulership. It had the potential. But it was not ruling and reigning. The man was ruling and reigning. And so the man exposed all that God had to the lies of the serpent instead of exposing everything as he had been to the progenitor of truth, God. That's what Adam, that's what man was doing. And if you remember what I said back on my slide about me my first duty, your first duty, is to preach and teach the gospel. That's how you protect your progenitor. That's how you protect your God. You preach and teach the truth of the gospel. You live it out. You walk it out. So no matter wherever you go, people will say you are a peculiar people. They may not understand when they look at you the first time or even the second time, but I promise you the king in you will draw towards the king in them. And the Holy Ghost can do something. But if you are in offense, your guard will be down. You will stop guarding the kingdom and you will begin to guard your filthy mind, your foolish soul. Come on. Your foolish wisdom, your foolish heart, your foolish spirit. It's inevitable. This is what happens. That's why it's important for us to understand on this level what's really happening to our lives from day to day. I'm praying to God that this is answering why some of you can't get past go. Or some of you are stuck at yellow, at yield. And some of you just may be stuck in red, on stop. You're not growing. Your soul is not expanding. Your eternal wisdom is not coming forth. The seed in you is just dormant. It's because of this. Next slide. There's a slide before that. Okay. All right. I know what's happening. You're on the wrong, you're on last week's. You're not on the updated slides. So I'll just have to go with this that's over here. Okay. And so we're going to continue to go with the intentions because I need you to understand that offend, offended, and offensive actually has intentions. It's walked out, it's lived out, it's producing something. And if you don't take the time to understand what it's really producing and its outcomes, you will find yourself wondering, how did you end up on the wrong side of God? Because I know for sure, listen, whether it was man's intention to end up on the wrong side of God or not, I know this, he didn't keep his command. So let's look at to transgress the moral, let's continue to look at the offend, I'm sorry. To transgress the moral, divine law, to commit a crime. These are not things that any of us would want to attribute to our behaviors, our outlooks, our responses. But what if it is? What if when God actually asked you to be in the number and you choose not to because you don't feel good, because you got a headache, because, you know, whatever the reason. Because our minds are not on things above. Oftentimes, our mind is on things below. And so sometimes we may commit a crime that we may not have thought about was a crime. We may cause a dislike and anger. These things are happening to us. Through strategies. And these things are happening every day. You can take screenshots too, because there are also examples here. To offend against, to act injuriously or unjustly. I want you to remember that offend, when you look at it from God's mind from eternity, we're talking about criminal acts. We're saying, look, unjustly means that what? You cannot justify that. The reason why man's action cannot be justified is because he had a command. And I'm here to tell each and every one of you on the line that you have a command. You have a command. And I pray that you know what your command is and that you're upholding it. Because if you are not dutiful to that command or to those commands from divine law, is considered unjust act. Just saying. To transgress, to violate. I want y'all to think about this. And I'm taking the time, and I can feel some of you guys getting like, oh my God, yes, it's this deep. We cannot rush through the information, because if we thought about our actions as violation, if we thought about how offensive we could be against one another, which makes us offensive against the kingdom, which makes us offensive against our God, listen, the kingdom would look differently. The church would look differently. Our lives would look differently. So we have to take the time to think about, where are we violating? Where is the violation? How did the violation come in? Remember, I said protector. As a king, you have a job to protect the kingdom. This is why you're not quick to be offended. This is why you shouldn't be quick to have offense. You go to Luke. How many times must I forgive my brother? You understand? Adam, man, he could have looked at that situation. He could have forgave her. He could have laughed at the serpent. It's not going to work on me. And he could have went back to his God. You see this? They trying to make a mockery of me. They're trying to make a mockery of your command to me. They're laughing, they're having conversation, they're hanging out, they're doing whatever they're doing, but I'm staying with you. I find it more pleasurable to be with you. I find it more pleasurable to keep your command. And then he would have showed the man, or Adam, how to handle them. That's the other side that could have happened. I want you to go back to, let me make sure I'm not leaving out. Okay. To offend against, to act injuriously, unjust, to violate, to offend against the law of society, to offend against the laws of God, the rules of civility, or propriety. That's saying a lot. And if you look at 2 Chronicles 28, it says, we have offended against the Lord already. Oh, well, we can think about that one, right? Offender. Trespasser, one that offends, one that violates any law, divine or human, a criminal. These are all tying back. One, a man who robs, steals, or commits an assault. So you got to remember, from God's perspective, out here, when the gospel is being preached, when the truth is being preached, and you choose to be offended, it's a choice. Because right here, it tells us what? The offender is one that robs, steals, or commits an assault. if the word, if the truth of the word is assaulting your very being, it doesn't make that person an offender. It makes that person one who's bringing the gospel. You're offended by the truth of the gospel because whatever that truth is not in you. Oh, come on today. We just have to clear these kind of things up. Because we got to understand when someone is actually, or something, because it says divine or human. So if a spirit or a human is out to offend us, to kill us, to steal from us, to rob from us, to assault us, or if the true gospel is being preached. Just have to put that one in there as well. Okay, I think we're going to go. Let me see. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to run slides in. Okay. Okay. Okay, so I'm sorry. If you look over here, bear with me. I just gotta find this in scripture. Okay, in Genesis 3, I think in 13. No, we don't wanna go there yet. I can't go there yet. Let me go over here. Minister Shakita stopped at 8. Minister Shakita, can you pick up? I'm ready to pick up from there.
Okay. Let me find it again. So you want me to pick up at 8?
Where did you? Yeah, you stopped at.
I stopped at 7. Yeah, I picked up at 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent,
That's it. Thank you. All right, look, we got to walk through this real quick, right? And so Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among trees. Okay, Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Okay, he said, he heard the voice in the garden and he was afraid. And because he was naked, he hid himself. All right, wait a minute. So first of all, we know he heard, he hid himself, he was afraid. Listen to all of the concepts that are now being introduced to us, right? And God asked him a question because he's listening to the language. He's listening to what he's saying, okay? And he said, well, who told you that you were naked? Where'd you get that information from? Because that's not conversation they had been having. That wasn't information that was known to him, that was revealed to him. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, okay, right here, I want you to hear me, and I want you to hear me well. This is such a key. And if you can grab a hold of this, you will begin to untangle your own mind, and you will begin to find the lie in your mind, in your soul, in your heart, in your spirit. You'll begin to detect it and point it out before it becomes a problem. The question was asked, who? How do you know? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee, and thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Come on. Was that the question that God asked him? Remember, I said that the truth is always evaded. So those of you who are a master at rewording or redirecting a conversation to elude the truth, don't think that it's being missed in God's eyes. We have to begin to look at ourselves. We have to begin to see where this endemic behavior is leading us astray. Whether conscious or unconscious, it leads us to a different conclusion. Are you hearing me? Your inability to answer a question truthfully. In other words, I ask you, hey, how are you doing today? And you say to me, blessed and highly favored, when the truth of the matter is, you really may need to say, hey, can you pray for me? I am not feeling well. My mind is not right today. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Body of Christ, conservators, set yourself free. Find truth in your inward parts. Because we overlook this behavior and we think that it's okay. You get an instruction from your boss, from your leader. They tell you, hey, when such and such call, you give them the key to the bathroom and you give them directions to clean the bathroom, and that's it. They're released at 1 o'clock. But when you speak to them, they come with a sob story and they're telling you whatever and whatever. And you say, well, you can go head home, but before you go, check the bathroom, and then you're released. Because all of what's going on with you, you now have changed the objective of that leader or that boss. And just because it was a slight change doesn't make it an okay change. I hope you guys are hearing me. Our behaviors, our responses are telling a lot about where we are in God. If we're keepers, if we're dutiful, if we want to be in the kingdom, or are we still just playing church? When you cannot answer a question that's being posed to you, even when it's a difficult question, even when you feel like someone cannot handle the answer, but you have been posed with a direct question and you can't answer it with where you are, but instead you start off where somebody else is, I promise you, you're offended. Offense is there. Sin is being birthed. Pride is being birthed. Arrogance is being birthed. Envy may be being birthed. Jealousy may be. Do you understand what I'm saying? I pray that you guys are making the connections. I'm praying that you're taking the time. The purpose of the teaching is for you to find yourself in Jesus Christ and not in Adam. We're at 1 o'clock. I want to go on. Let me finish this one piece that's on my slide, but not up there. It talks about, scripture talks about the woman's response to God, which she said, the serpent beguiled me and I didn't eat. That's what she said. I want you to hear from the King James Dictionary definition what beguile means. To delude, to deceive, to impose on by artifice or craft. Right? To elude by craft. Hear me and hear me well. To elude anything disagreeable. Let me go back up. To elude by craft. Think about this. I keep saying man and the serpent were in that garden together for a long time. He could not use his craft directly on man. He did not succeed. He was only able to use his craft. He was only able, if you go up to the first definition, to impose on by artifice or craft. He was only able to impose on the woman because the man knew his command. He knew his command. He chose to do something different. That's why nothing happened when the woman ate, and everything changed when the man ate. He became a willing participant. He chose to leave his God. He wanted the woman more. Oh, we got to look at our appetites and our senses. Oh, we got to think about what we want more. Do you want you more, or do you want your God more? Do you want to be one with God more, or do you want to soothe your achy soul? Do you want the appetite of Jesus Christ, which is to run his kingdom, to preach his gospel, to uphold it? Or do you want to be the star of the story? Oh, my God. Hear me and hear me well. We have some soul searching to do, conservators. We have some salvation to work out, conservators. Because it's all about choices. And a little sin turns you completely over. The reason why, it leads to more sin. And the more ignorant you are about what sin is to God, what commands are to God, do you understand what I'm saying? The less you know your scripture, the more bound you will be. Only the truth will set you free. Only the truth will make you free. But my question that I'm posing in this particular teaching, what truth are you eluding? The lies we tell and the truth we elude. I just shared a lot of truth of the scripture, a lot of truth of the mind of Christ, a lot of truth of the outlook for the body. Will you engage it? Or will you let it fall to the ground? You still have a choice. With that being said, we're going to get to, because I think it's 1 o'clock. We're going to get to next week. Let me see. I'm sorry. I had to pull off that point about be galled. Oh, let me finish it. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. I'm sorry, I can't close out yet. I talked about how it's connected to Genesis 3, to elude anything disagreeable by amusement or other means. This is what was happening with Eve or with the woman, to pass pleasantly, pleasingly, to amuse as to beguile. As to beguile the tedious day with sleep. Come on, I like the way that they use this example. You can find this in the King James Version Dictionary definitions. So in other words, to elude anything disagreeable by amusement. Let's look at it from this way, by pleasure, by desire. Go back up to what we went through when I pointed out what she saw and good and desirable. Do you understand what I'm saying? To elude anything disagreeable by amusement or other means, to pass pleasingly, to give it up pleasingly through these false pleasures, to amuse as to beguile the tedious day with sleep. Oh, come on. I like the example that they used, because how many of us are choosing to be beguiled and to pass up our duties and what God has put inside of us and what he's called us to do by going to sleep? I'll leave you with that question. I'll leave you with that question to think about. Am I asleep on my job or am I awake? Am I ready? Do I stay ready? Am I ready, ready? Come on. These are the questions that I'm posing to you. And you cannot come on Tuesday night silent with no questions, because I know that this is for you. We wouldn't be going down these lines if God is not preparing a people to take back that which has been lost, because this is a take back campaign. But first, we must take back our own minds. First, we may take back our own souls. First, we must take back our own spirits. First, we must take back our will. Stop allowing our will to be tossed to and fro and exchange our will for God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your senses are telling you something. They're sending you somewhere. I'm just admonishing you and asking you, are they sending you towards Jesus or away? That's the question. We'll see the outcomes as we continue down this line. Next week will be the third week. Now we're going to get into the first and the last Adam. Hear me and hear me well. It's going to be an excellent teaching, but I can't skip through and I can't speed through such a foundational teaching that's dealing with, listen, this is dealing with what caused the man, the first Adam, or Adam himself, to lose his kingly position. He didn't see himself as a king. He didn't think of himself as a king. He had no idea what an heir was. He didn't know that he was an heir. He didn't know that he had the king of all kings on the inside of him. He didn't think about any of that. I'm saying we have more information, knowledge, wisdom, and revelation. Why aren't we?